morning, everyone. You know, it's hard to make a transition. I'm in mourning still after the game last night, and it's hard to make the change. We're talking about being ready, and it sure looked like the Wildcats weren't ready last night. And then to top it off, there was a fire in McHale Center. I mean, what's going on? The end is coming near. And that's what we're studying. We're studying Matthew chapter 24 and 25. It's the last of five teaching sections in Matthew. And we called this series, The End is Near. And when we say the end is near, it's not as if you were saying that, like, exactly tomorrow it's near. We don't know. That is exactly what Pastor Roger shared with us last week from the passage last week, is that nobody knows the time. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming. Nobody knows when they're going to pass from this life and face Jesus face to face. Nobody knows the time. So when we say the end is near, that's the reality that we've got to be perpetually ready whenever we'll meet the Lord. And the last verse that Pastor Roger read last week really sets us up for the story that we're going to see this week. And in Matthew 24:44, just listen to this. He says, "So you also must be ready." You need to be ready, because the Son of Man, Jesus, will come in an hour when you do not expect Him. None of us knows when He's going to return. None of us knows when we're going to meet Him. So we have to be ready now, because we can't predict the time. We can't set an appointment, so to speak. We've got to be perpetually ready, already at all times. As I've been studying these chapters the last several weeks, I try to apply what we're going to talk about here in my own life, and those questions keep coming to me. I hope the same questions that you're asking of yourself is that if we're called to be ready at any time, what does that mean? What does that mean for my heart to be ready for Jesus? What does that mean in terms of what I'm supposed to do? What am I supposed to do to be ready for Jesus? How does my lifestyle, what does that lifestyle look like if I'm going to be ready for Jesus? And when I think about lifestyle, by the way, most of us adopt a lifestyle. And with that lifestyle, there's all these values that come with it. And then we've adopted these values. When I think about being ready, it's about choosing my values, which then shape my lifestyle so that I'm truly ready for Jesus. What is that like? And then my character. What kind of a character do I need to be developing so that I'm truly ready for Jesus? Now, Jesus wants us to be ready. We're going to see this clearly in the next few weeks in His teaching. And if Jesus challenges us to be ready, then it means it's truly possible to do that. It's achievable, it's doable to be ready. But we've got to ask the question, then, what exactly does that mean? And more than anything, I want to be ready on that big day, that day when I meet Jesus. We know that from Jesus' teachings, we know that being religious isn't what it means to be ready. Even going to church isn't what it means to be ready. Saying the right things, believing the right things, that's not enough for being ready. So what does it mean to be ready? And it's critical that we get this right. We need to know what it means to be ready. Now, Jesus, because of His love, because He cares deeply about us, He wants us to get this right. And He doesn't leave us to ourselves trying to figure this thing out. He's very, very clear about what it means to be ready. We have four more messages in this series. And each of these four is about a different story, a parable that Jesus told about what it means to be ready. He's not going to give us any reason why we can't figure this out. He's going to tell four different stories, and as a way to help encourage us to really engage and understand what it means to be ready. Now, before we get into the first story, I want to come back and just kind of give a little pause here. We need to be ready. And oftentimes when we think about that, or when we're challenged with that in terms of being ready for Jesus, a lot of times that causes fear. Because the place that we go to right away is, am I ready, meaning am I going to be saved or not? Am I going to spend eternity with Jesus or not? And that's an absolutely appropriate question to ask. But I want you to understand something about Jesus' teaching that we're going to look at. All of his teaching in Matthew 24 and 25, including the story we're going to look at today, was directed towards his disciples, those who were already following him. Remember, they were asking questions of Jesus, and Jesus is now responding. This is what it means to be ready. He's talking to those who are truly following him. That's the context. And what we're going to see here is a huge warning. The warning is to those of us who have made the declaration, I want to follow Jesus. You know, in our baptism, when we do our baptisms, and many of you have done this, we said, I am making a vow to follow Jesus with all of my heart to the best of my ability. And so he's speaking to those of us who've made that decision. He's not trying to scare people who are not following Jesus into heaven. That's not the purpose of this teaching. He's not speaking to those who don't believe in him or are not willing to follow him. He's speaking to those of us, hopefully in this room, who have made the decision we want to follow Jesus. And he challenges us by saying it's about truly being sincere about that and avoiding the road of hypocrisy. We're going to see this play out. Take your Bibles or turn on your device to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 45. Matthew 24, verse 45. Jesus says, who then is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, I will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, oh, my master's staying away a long time. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus lays this story out. And it's about being ready. And he tells the story. He said, there's a master. He's going away. Obviously, the master here is a reflection of who Jesus is. Jesus was with his disciples. Then, after his crucifixion, he rose from the dead. He spent some time with his disciples. And then he ascended to be with his Father. And one day, he's coming back. And so, obviously, the master in the story reflects Jesus. He's gone to be with his Father, but he's going to come back. In the meantime, he's given responsibility to a servant. In this story, the servant is a disciple. It reflects you and I. It reflects this church. Jesus, while he is with his Father, has given us, the church, a huge responsibility. We are called to be Jesus in our world. Now, with that responsibility, he begins to lay out then, what does it mean to be ready? Because there's going to be a time when that master is coming back and he's going to want an accountability of what's happened while he's been gone. And so what he does is he actually contrasts two people, two servants. And by the way, anytime Jesus does that, what he's doing by telling the story is he's inviting us into the story. He's inviting us to say, what kind of servant am I? Which servant reflects me more accurately? One servant is he calls faithful and wise. The other one he calls wicked. And it's interesting to me that he only gives two options. He doesn't give three or four. He says there's the faithful and wise servant, and then there's the wicked servant. Now, the faithful and wise servant, while he's gone, this faithful and wise servant, it lives out the very phrase that Jesus gives him. He faithfully does what Jesus would have done had Jesus been there. He treats the other servants the same way Jesus would have treated them. He manages the household in the way that Jesus would have managed the household. He is being Jesus while the master is absent. He is faithful and he is wise. Wisdom, in the Bible, wisdom is about taking the principles, the truth of God, and applying them into our life. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's taking the example, the teaching of Jesus, his master, and he's applying it to his life. Faithful and wise in every way. Trustworthy. But then he contrasts it with, what if he becomes wicked? Or what if it's a wicked servant? Now this wicked servant figures he's got lots of time on his hands. The master, he's determined in his head, for whatever reason, that master's not going to come back anytime soon. I got lots of time. I'm going to do life on my terms while I got all this time. And then I'll pray. And I would assume that his thought is that I'll fix it all up right at the end, you know, when I need to, right before the master comes. As a bad choice. Is a gamble. Why? Because of the principle that Jesus has already said. Nobody knows when the master is coming back. And if the master comes back before you've gotten everything fixed, you're in trouble. It's foolish, it's stupid to think that we can control the timing of our encounter with Jesus. We can't. And we don't get to call the shots and do life our way. See, what this wicked servant is, and the reason why Jesus gives him that title is because he's doing everything in just the opposite of what the master, Jesus, would have done. So thinking he's got time to get it together, he makes a foolish choice. See, when it comes to our character, when it comes to truly being ready, when it means having the right character and living God's way, we can't count on what tomorrow's. We don't have tomorrow to figure that out. That's foolish. We only have today. When it comes to growing a character that's like Jesus, we only have today. When it comes to living for Jesus and living with Jesus, we only have today. We don't have tomorrow. We've already looked at this. Jesus talked about this when we looked at the Sermon on the Hill. Tomorrow is something that we have no control over. We only have control over today. We have no guarantee about tomorrow. I can only treat people in the way of Jesus today because that's the only time that I have control over. I can't plan to do that tomorrow. I only have the now. I need to let Jesus form and shape who I am now to be like him. Not waiting for some time in the future. And so we make the commitment to follow Jesus with all of our heart, to the best of our ability. Doesn't mean we always do that perfectly. Doesn't mean that we don't get distracted at times. It doesn't mean that at times we don't let temptation get in the way and draw us from Jesus. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all mess up at times. But what Jesus is talking about here is the true, genuine intent to follow him. Folks, don't miss grace in this thing. Just because Jesus is talking about it in this way, it doesn't mean he's set aside grace. Jesus died that we might be in relationship with the Father. He forgives us when we mess up. But that's never an excuse for saying, well, I can just do whatever I want to do. And when Jesus teaches this way, he's not also saying that if you do all the right things, now you've earned favor with God. That's not grace either. This isn't about earning God's favor. This is about honoring God. It's not about earning. It's about honoring God with our life in every way. So how do we grow to become like the faithful and wise servant? How do we go about living that out? I want to suggest that it takes training, just like athletes. Okay, athletes need to train for the big game. We need to train for the big day. Obviously, the Wildcats didn't train well enough for this weekend, but you know, you can't just show up on game day and be ready, you know, without having done training. The same thing is true in our spiritual life. And I think the way that we get spiritually ready is by engaging in training. And the way that I've come to understand this, at least in this context, is this. This has been really helpful for me. I want to live my life today in a way that's consistent with how I will live in eternity. I want to treat people today like I'm going to treat people in heaven. Now think about that. In heaven, how am I going to treat people? I'm going to want their very best. I'm not going to operate out of my own selfish concerns. I'm not going to be concerned about issues of jealousy. So I want to start practicing that now. Now, in practice, do you always get it right? No. But you're sincere in the training and the practice. And we begin to practice in this life, living the Jesus life, following Jesus, doing the things Jesus way in this life, because that's exactly what we're going to be doing forever in eternity. And when Jesus tells this story here, it's foolish to think, I could just live like hell now and assume that it's all going to change right at the end, then I get to be in heaven. It doesn't work that way. One, because you don't know how long you have. It's foolish, it's dangerous, it's gamble. And the reality is sometimes you never get to that place of change. So we choose now to let Jesus begin to change us, transform us. We choose to follow Jesus. We choose to live the Jesus way now. And that's what it means to be ready. We're not only ready for Jesus' return, but we're readying ourselves for heaven. And so we invite Jesus to do that inner work of removing our pride. We invite Jesus to work on us and working on that greed where we have this attachment to things. We invite Jesus to work on us as we deal with our fears and anxieties. We invite Jesus to transform us so that we remove the temptation to dislike people and even have prejudice towards people. Because here's the reality. In heaven, there will be no pride. In heaven, there will be no greed. In heaven, there will be no hate. In heaven, there will be no prejudice. So we learn to live that way now in anticipation, be getting ready for what life is going to be like for eternity. That's what discipleship is. A disciple is somebody who learns from Jesus. Discipleship is the training that we go through now, learning the way of Jesus now. So when we get to heaven, there's no surprise. We've begun to experience it and live it. Not perfectly yet, but we're beginning to experience that. We desire that. And there's an integrity and an intensity that shows Jesus, this is exactly how I want to live. I think the guiding verse in this story is verse 46. Jesus said, "It will be good." It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. So when Jesus returns, it's not like we have to all of a sudden get things fixed up. I'm having some guests to our house today. Guess what I did yesterday? I dusted. You know, and when I go home, I'll sweep the front porch off. My guests were coming and go, oh yeah, now you'll look around and say, did he get all the dust spots? It's not waiting to the last second when the guests come. Jesus. It's getting ready long before that so that whenever he comes, which we can't predict, we're ready. Now, I want to focus on the final words because these are tough words. I just as soon kind of just skip over verse 51. These are pretty challenging words, but Jesus said these words, and we got to look at them. Verse 51, let me reread them. He will cut him, this is, he's speaking now of the wicked servant. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is a final judgment. We don't like to talk about it. It's not something pleasant to think about, but we can't wish it away. And you know, when we see those words, the natural place, and I mentioned this before, is am I going to be in or am I out? Am I going to make it? Where's the guarantees? Remember, what Jesus is doing is he's warning us. He's challenging us to be ready. Being ready means, to the best of our ability, with sincerity, trying to follow Jesus daily. But if we choose a different path, if we choose not to ready ourselves for heaven by living in heavenly ways now, then we choose another path. If we choose to live our lives just the way we want to, if we choose to live hell on earth, then we've sent ourselves down a path towards hell. And that path for the believer is the path of hypocrisy. He says he will assign him a place with the hypocrites. Folks, in heaven there will be no hypocrites. Amen? But there is a place for hypocrites who claim to believe the right things, who claim allegiance to Jesus, who carry the name of Jesus, but live like hell. Jesus says that is not going to work. That is not being ready. That is not honoring Jesus. That is not honoring the vows and the commitment that we made. And as harsh as that is, it's a reality. We can't live like hell and then expect to be ready. Again, we haven't set aside grace. In our sincere following of Jesus, there are those times we mess up and we've got to, you know, embrace the grace and forgiveness that Jesus gives us. But what we're talking about is a focus, a lifestyle, a commitment. And if we're just intending to do what we want to do, calling it our way, living life our way rather than the Jesus way, then that's a pure sense of hypocrisy for the believer. And Jesus warns us. Heaven's going to be populated with faithful servants. Not perfect, in the sense that on earth, we're all broken. You know, there are parts of my life that are so broken, I wonder if they'll ever get fixed this side of eternity. There are some habits that just seem to be really hard to break. I still find myself sinning. You do too. We're not talking about getting it all right perfectly now. We are talking about an integrity that says, I truly want to follow the way of Jesus. And that's what we've been looking at this whole year. Back in January, we started looking at the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And what it means to be ready, what it means to live the Jesus way, to follow Jesus well, isn't complicated, it's not confusing, it's not difficult, it's actually very simple. We've seen it over and over. Do to others what you would have them do to you. When I say it's not necessarily easy to live out in every situation, but it's not a complicated concept. Do to others as you would have them do to you. The prayer that Jesus asked us to pray in Matthew chapter 6. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom is where you rule, where you have influence. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where? On earth. As it is in heaven. As we pray that prayer with sincerity, not just rote, just sincerely praying that prayer. God, I want your will to be done in my life. I want to bring your influence into my life and into my world. Just like it is in heaven. Then that is the way of Jesus. When Jesus said, love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way of Jesus. And that's what we're invited into. And so I want all of us, including myself, to be ready for the big day. I told some of you that I had a motorcycle accident a few weeks ago. I'm pretty well healed up. I have one little scab left. I needed to be ready that day to meet Jesus. I hadn't planned that day to meet Jesus. And by maybe His grace, or maybe I laid the cycle down soon enough, I lived a few more days. We none of us know. We don't know when Jesus will return. That's the big day. And Jesus wants us ready. That ready starts today, right now. And we know what that means to be ready. Following Jesus to the best of our ability. Being Jesus in our world. Treating others the way Jesus would treat others. Making our decisions in light of what Jesus values. Living our life in a way that really honors Jesus. So I want to challenge you with spiritual training. I want to challenge you with the training I've been doing the last few weeks. I want to challenge you that when you wake up in your day, sometime ideally in the morning, you genuinely ask yourself this question: how will I live today that'll prepare me for heaven? How will I live today in a way that's consistent with the way I'm going to live for eternity in heaven? How will I treat others today? And the more specific you can be, the better. How will I treat so-and-so today the same way I'm going to treat them when I'm in the presence of God in eternity? I mentioned I've been doing this for a number of weeks, and it has changed my day. I have made different decisions. I've woken up, and I've prayed that prayer, and I've said, oh, you know what? Something that I thought was so important, something that I was going to invest my time or my money in, all of a sudden you go, you know what? If I were in heaven, that wouldn't matter at all. It's not important. And I've responded to people differently, thinking the same way. This is a part of our spiritual training. Waking up every day. Jesus, how do I enter into my day, living it today like I'll get to experience for eternity? I want to challenge you to do that. Do it for the next week. Do it for the next month. Some days will be better than others. That's what training is all about. What we're doing is we're asking the Lord to change and transform us as we are faithful and wise servants, ready when the Master comes. We're going to have a time of communion. And I had a conversation the other day with another pastor from another church, and he said, you know, I don't like to do communion every week because it becomes routine and rote, and I get that. Communion can become just routine. But that's not what Jesus intended. When we take communion, and the reason we do it every week is this is a critical time of connection with Jesus. See, those of us who made the commitment to follow Jesus, we said something like this. It might have been different words, but something like, Jesus, I want to follow you with all of my heart to the best of my ability all the days of my life. And when we come to this time of communion, we remember back to that commitment, to that vow that we made in our baptism, and we say, I didn't do that so well this week. There was a situation or a period of time where I wasn't really faithful to that. I wasn't really wise. And we come to communion around the cup and the juice, which reminds us of His sacrifice, His love, that He is for us, He is for us, He is for us, even when we don't do so well. And we remember that we have forgiveness and grace, and then we recommit. That's when we say, I recommit to those vows. To follow you with all of my heart, to the best of my ability all the days of my life. And that's why this is such an incredible time. Use the time in that way. And after that, we take an offering. No excuse for that. This is a critical part of our following Jesus. Is He really first in our lives? And does it show in that we give joyfully and generously to Him first? Because He's the one we're following. And we give all to Him. It's a part of our integrity as we follow Him. Let's pray. Father God, right now as we prepare to remember the deep, deep love of Jesus and His sacrifice, I'm asking that Your Holy Spirit come to each of us and speak to us right now. Maybe there are areas we've been hypocritical where we've lived in ways that are so contrary to Jesus. God, reveal that to us right now. God, help us to take this moment to reconnect with You and recommit. And God, we want to begin training afresh this week. We want to practice following Jesus right now, anticipating our forever life. In Jesus' name, amen.